direct from Las Vegas. It's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2019. Brought to you by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com. Now, here's Joe Steinkamp.
In a quieter, more subdued part of the Mandalay Bay, Joe here with Jason Greaves of Microsoft, and we're here. You know, actually, the exhibit hall is not open. We're actually doing this during general sessions, and this is one of the fewer places you can go that is not loud as all get out. Good grief, this is a loud hotel. How have you been? How has the booth been? You've done a talk earlier. You announced some stuff with Hadley. What's all going on with you, Jason?
It's been a great week. We've just really enjoyed being here at NFB. The energy every time we come is just so high. And yeah, so on Monday, we kind of kicked things off. Crystal from Microsoft talked about really the mission that we have and did a great job explaining just the breadth of accessibility. And then I was able to go deep dive into low vision. And the biggest piece of feedback that I heard last year at NFB was about training. And people said, you know, it's great, you guys are building great features and these are really useful, but how do we train others and how do we learn more? And so we were approached by Hadley actually at CSUN, and they said, we'd like to do some training with your software. And we thought that was a great opportunity to go deep with a partner that really understands obviously the space and has a passion for it. And so since CSUN, we've been working with them on ease of access, low vision training, and they were able to announce that with us on Monday night, and they're going to go even further. They've got other screen reading with Microsoft Office, and they will do Narrator as well in the coming months. So we're really excited about that partnership. It's been great just meeting people and teaching people about what we're doing and getting feedback from them. It's a great week.
A lot of outreach, because you guys started the webinar series, the 101 series, and you've done one for Narrator, you've done one for Magnification.
Yep.
And that's not just it, because there's a lot of stuff with the cognitive space that's going on, especially in Office. It's hard to imagine. That's why I always tell people to make sure that they follow MSFT Enable on Twitter, because there's just so much news that's always coming out from the various divisions of Microsoft.
I think it really all stems from Satya Nadella, our CEO. And so Satya, when he became the CEO, he started talking about accessibility really early on. And it seemed like he really got it. You know, we heard it and we're like, oh, maybe this is just, someone saying these things. And
yeah, putting their stamp out there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But he has a child with a disability and he talks about it in his book. And he loves this space for a lot of reasons. And just in the forefront, he believes that we're at a position as a company to really help people out there. And that's why the mission is empowering every person to achieve more.
Yeah.
And he believes accessibility can be in the forefront of technology to empower people with disabilities, and we can extend that to just everyone. So that's why he's done initiatives like the AI for Accessibility program that's trying to get out externally to allow companies and entrepreneurs to try new things for people with disabilities with regards to AI and machine learning.
And development tools, all the way down to Xbox, everything. You know, I mentioned on the show before that the feeling going into CSUN and Game Developers Conference was huge, because we were coming right off the back of the $5 million ad campaign for the ZAC, for the Xbox Adaptive Controller. And it really did change a lot of people's opinions. So something just like that, where it's out in the mainstream, where we're talking about adaptability, inclusivity, and accessibility in such a wide variety of places is really, really positive. Now, you were on our program back at ATIA in January, and you were talking about some things that were coming up in the spring update. Can we go over some of those things that did come out and what we might have plans for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were talking about kind of new features that were in our Windows Insider builds at the time. And we really talked about a couple main low vision features.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, we had a larger and brighter mouse pointer experience coming. And this is one that I personally use and love. I used to tease that our mouse settings used to have three sizes, small, smaller, and smallest.
That's true.
And now we have 15 sizes. So we have a lot more sizes. You can go up to 8X, so eight times larger. And then, my favorite quote from our low vision advisory group was that people lose the mouse pointer in a sea of white and black.
That's true.
And that's just a great way to describe that problem. And so sizes are great, but what we really needed was the ability to change the color of the mouse pointer. And so now we have options to change the mouse pointer color. We have a few suggested bright highlight colors, but there's also a way to pick your own. And I just one quick story on this. I was testing this feature at home, And I had mine set to this bright yellow, and my four-year-old son, Tommy, came up in my lap, and he's, you know, we like to watch Paw Patrol on the computer. Mm-hmm. And so Tommy said, why is the pointy thing yellow? And and I said, you know, I started to give him a nice, you know, education about how it's hard for daddy to see the screen. Yeah. And he's not listening. He's like, I want to make it pink. Make it pink. And so we went into the custom colors and made it a pink color. And what I love about this is Tommy doesn't have a visual impairment.
Right.
He just wanted a pink mouse pointer.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, what's really neat as we've launched this experience now publicly. And it's been a top feature on some of the main kind of websites. And people are like, oh, it's a cool personalization feature. And this is what we like to do, what we kind of call this a way of doing inclusive design. So we're building for people with visual impairments, but we're trying to extend those solutions to everyone, to mainstream users that just want to personalize their computer. And what that does is it makes it so that it's non-stigmatizing.
Exactly.
And that's what, growing up in the 90s, I love the accessibility that I used. But it is hard as a kid to use accessibility, and you don't want to be different. And you know, having a solution like this built in where people can pick their own favorite colors hopefully makes it a little easier to just use something that's, you know, easier for you.
Sure. And most of these tip sites or something you would read from Windows Central as a helpful tip and stuff usually go into ease of access settings.
Yeah.
And it's always like some mystical vault that they've opened. And it's like, you may never have gone here, but did you know? And it's like, yeah.
That's exactly it.
It should really be out there in personalization. And the good thing, though, is that a lot of that duplicates. So the additional settings may take somebody to ease of access.
Absolutely.
Without necessarily giving them the path of going to system and then, you know, over to ease of access. So it's really good that this kind of stuff is actually becoming more of the, what would be called top line menu rather than being like subcategorized three levels down.
Yeah, exactly. So we're really excited about the mouse feature, and it works great with magnifier as well. So when you change your mouse pointer size and color and you launch magnifier, that experience works great. And that's another principle that we have, is that we want our low vision tools to work well together.
Right.
We know that people really use these things just in different ways.
Sure.
And so we made sure that experience works great. Speaking of magnifier. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is working dual situations. People who might be transitioning from low vision to lesser forms of vision might be more friendly to run narrator and magnifier together, which was something that was doable, but not comfortable. And that erosion is starting to happen. So it's actually, you can run both in a dual mode and make life easier, especially from doing things like just minimizing it to the taskbar.
Well, you know, we've been getting a lot of great feedback specifically on that. And one of the things we talked about in our low vision advisory group was, you know, what do you think of that experience with magnifier and narrator together? And I think there were some great thoughts around, you know, it's nice, but it's not actually what a lot of low vision users really need. Specifically, narrators, you know, verbose, it's going to speak a lot of extra information about, you know, the what's on the screen. And what a lot of us want is just simple reading. So it's just going to read the text out.
Yeah.
And then the other big challenge was just, you know, launching two tools, learning all these new narrator commands. They just wanted simple reading. And in fact, fast forward to kind of what's coming, we were able to announce this week at NFB that we're actually going to integrate some reading functionality into Magnifier. And so this is hot off the presses. It's on its way to those insider preview builds of Windows. But we couldn't wait. We really wanted to show it here. And so this includes a couple things. There'll be some new changes to the Magnifier UI. First, we've made sure it's working with things like the dark mode and text sizing. But we are also introducing some just reading commands and reading buttons on there. Things like pause, play, rewind, fast forward. And then there's a button that lets you click, and wherever you click next, it'll read from that location. So we call it the magic wand, the read from here button. And it does exactly what we were talking about just a second ago. It's going to read the text on the screen. It's going to audibly read it out. It's going to have a visual indicator, and it's going to move the magnifier viewport. And so this is something we're really excited about that's coming. We would love feedback from folks on what they think of it.
Well, did I just trample on some of the things that did come out? Did we need to do we need to circle back? Is there something
you
wanted to highlight?
Sure. It was a good transition since you brought it up. Only other thing that I wanted to mention with regards to magnifier. And so when we were talking about these mouse pointers, this came out in the May 2019 update.
Right.
So if you go to Windows Update, you can seek it. It will eventually come to your computer automatically, but you can click check for updates and it will download it. So the mouse pointers, And the other thing we always try to do is with Magnifier, really improve the performance and stability, which we did. And one other thing was we actually turned on smarter defaults. So Magnifier is a way to track your text cursor as well as just keyboard shortcuts. And strangely, we never had those on by default. And those are things that I turn on as well as the majority of more technical users turn on.
Right.
And at conferences like NFB, you know, we hear, oh, we, you know, we like the Magnifier, but we wish it would just, you know, track as we're typing. And oh, I have to show them to that, you know, show them those options. And now what we're doing is if you get a Windows machine, those will be on by default.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we made the performance a lot better. That's one that we've really continued to do every release is just tune the performance. And then we just have smarter default. So.
And centerizing. So that was huge.
Yeah. So that we did a significantly better centered mouse pointer mode. So we introduced it a little bit earlier, but in the May 2019 update, we made the performance of that really good, just buttery smooth, where the mouse pointer is just deadpan center on the screen. And it's the mode I love to use now. We built it actually for a guy at Microsoft. He, you know, said he had really kind of bad peripheral vision, and so he loved a way to center his mouse pointer when he uses magnification. And so we thought that made a lot of sense, and so we built it for him and for others with peripheral vision loss. But what I found, even though I don't have peripheral vision loss, just having the mouse pointer in the middle of the screen stable is just one less thing that's like cognitive load that's moving on me. I don't have to worry about that anymore, which is nice.
It's, you know, coming back to the defaults thing, right?
Yeah.
So you learn muscle memory as an assistive technology user. You have your little tricks and tramps, and so when you go to a new version of something, oh, do I have to relearn it, or do I have to go back and enable all these features and all that? And so much of that is kind of lifted off of you when you start going to these new modes.
Yep,
so
exactly.
It's definitely interesting to see what's coming. And speaking of what's coming, we've kind of tapped it a little bit. What else
there's
can we
more.
Talk about?
Yeah, all so right. the Magnifier reading experience is something we're excited about. The other big one, you know, we're on this journey outside of magnification to make things bigger and easier to see. We started with larger text, so you can go in and increase the size of your text up to 225%. So we shipped that experience, and then people were like, oh, that's great, but the mouse pointer is still hard to see. And so we worked on making the mouse pointers easier to see. So we shipped that. And then people are like, that's great, but the text cursor is still really hard to see. And so the text cursor, you know, has different names. It's the carrot for some. It's the blinking indicator
for others,
that's showing you where you're about to type.
Right.
And so what we've been working on is a way to make the text cursor easier to see. Similar to mouse pointers, there's kind of two pieces to it. One is we can make the text cursor larger, and that doesn't just mean making it wider, because making it wider could be difficult because there's characters on either side of it. And so we're kind of adding what we call, at least informally, we call it hats and shoes.
Right.
So we add kind of an adornment to the top and bottom of the text cursor. And then we also have colors. And so you can, again, we have some highlight colors that you can choose or your own custom color. So it's a great part of our story that's just, those work great with Magnifier, but they're also great tools that you can use if you're not using Magnifier.
And, you know, with dark mode becoming popular,
you
know, and now becoming not something that you had to, again, see a Windows Central article or something on, it's actually just there in personalization. All of that's coming to things like Edge and other portions of Windows.
Yep.
So that's the other side that I think is really cool, is that even in situations where we would have had to pontificate about how great dark mode is to people for hours on end, now it's just a setting, which is, you know, slowly but surely it's coming into the consciousness.
Exactly. I think yes to that, and it's great to see, you know, even competitors like Apple investing in things like dark mode on their phones and on their desktops, because it's actually getting the message out that it's a great mode, you know, for everyone, and that's helping actually internally to Microsoft for folks to go, oh, we probably should continue to invest in a dark mode.
Somebody just had to go up to them and tell them it was a green idea. It saves battery.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
No. Let's do it for sure.
Yeah, now we're on board. Absolutely. We're eco-friendly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Chris Walker, who's a Microsoft engineer, this week also told a great story about Microsoft Outlook.
Yeah.
And specifically, you know, they had a dark mode that you could do, but it didn't actually change the content area. So if you were to read a message or write
a
message,
picture,
it was still bright.
Yeah.
And Chris has a coworker that has light sensitivity. And so I think he said once every quarter or so, they get a week as engineers to kind of do whatever they want in terms of investing in, you know, coding right. that they think is important for the product, which is a great idea. And so Chris, this engineer, and a couple other folks kind of just bashed on making a dark mode experience for those content areas.
Yeah.
And I've been using it now for the past couple months, and I've loved it. And it's actually now just getting into the insider builds of Office. And so if you go into the settings there and you go from whatever the default is, I think it's colorful, yeah. to kind of a black, yeah. It'll actually change those content areas now. And it's just so much more comfortable for me to use.
And I think people forget that the technology changes in such a way that the vision of how these things perform under certain technical situations will also change. And a perfect example of that is once when I got a high definition television 4K TV with HDMI, I'm way late into convention, you can tell. HDR, just for testing purposes, I flipped the Xbox over to light mode instead of dark mode. And man, that thing pops. Yeah. Like you could probably hail down, you know, UFOs from space. And if you start upgrading your computers and start going to monitors that are more 4K capable or doing these dynamic light changes on the fly, you really don't realize how that's going to impact your vision until you're in the moment.
Right.
Right? Because it sounds good on paper. Oh, yeah, it's going to change lighting. It's going to make things look more true and realistic. Ow, 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 that really hurts. How do I turn it off? How do I go back? And there's some reasons why people stay with CRT monitors. Yeah. There's some reasons why people stay with a Dell monitor they've had for 10 years, even though it's a 21-inch, maybe dimming, and maybe the actual light level they prefer best.
Right, exactly.
So how much testing does that go into that? Sometimes it's user testing.
Yeah.
So when you come across something like this, you might think, well, why didn't Microsoft think of that? You're only as good as the information you're getting from the teams, from your engineers. You guys don't have tons of equipment lying around. I mean, yeah, you got a bunch of surfaces, you know, but...
Yeah.
So how can people provide information? What is the best way for people to communicate with teams, be able to provide those experiences or those stories or even more feedback?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we want, is a lot of feedback. And within Windows, there's the Windows Feedback Hub. And there's a couple ways to get to it. You can search for it in terms of the, you know, Windows search experience.
Right.
Also, if you're in an application and you're having an accessibility issue, or you're using something like Magnifier, and you either like something or frustrated, there's a bug, you can hit Windows key and F. That will launch the Feedback Hub, and it'll launch it right to the place where it's a little simple form, title, description. You can even, there's a button right underneath the description field that says, you know, recreate my problem. And when you do that, we actually have extra kind of information when you recreate that problem within Magnifier. It turns on some switches that will track the issue even better. So we would, that's true for Magnifier, it's true for Narrator, our screen reader. So we really, if you hit a bug, please, please, please do give us that feedback. And that system, when you submit it, it goes to us directly. So as engineers, we get to see your feedback, and it can, you know, if you, there's a way at the very bottom to mark it as accessibility. You can choose Magnifier or Narrator, and it comes right to us, which is great. And we look at that feedback every week.
Jason and I have worked together. I'm on the Low Vision Advisory Group, so full disclosure, and I've mentioned this on the show before, we could talk for hours about all sorts of things, but I don't want to do that. Jason's a busy person. I've got some other interviews, but I want to make sure that we've covered everything. Is there anything else that we need to talk about before we close out the interview?
I think that's the most on the Low Vision side. I wanted to give a plug for Narrator as well. There's been the Narrator crew is continuing to do great things and listening to the feedback. The biggest one that we launched in May, the May update, was support for Chrome. Mariah and I were talking. She's a PM on the Narrator team. She went back to her notes. She keeps the best notes. I'm terrible at keeping notes. But she went to her notes. She had over 20 people come to ask for, you know, Narrator to work better with Chrome. And so it was great. You know, tonight she's going to be able to do a Narrator session and say, look, last year that was the big request. And we now support Chrome really well with Narrator.
And it helps that that's also being a part of Chromium and Edge.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah.
So that's all kind of coming to fruition a little bit. But even independent of that, it's part of what Narrator team is trying to do that, you know, we used to say, all right, it's just Narrator, it's just Windows, let's make it work right there. But that's not what people do. They live in the world of the web and you know, lots of different third-party applications. So the team wants to, you know, be used, they want Narrator to be used by a lot of people. And so they really are increasing the scope of what you know, Narrator can be doing. So that's a big part of it. The other big part that they've been launching is just having a what they call a Narrator home experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, they introduced a quick start guide in October of last year, and now they've made a simple place where all of the Narrator stuff, that's the quick start guide, the settings, kind of the links to go learn more, is all in one location now. And you can minimize that experience right down to the system tray, which has another big top ask.
Absolutely.
So anyway, both on the low vision side and on the screen reading side, our focus is listening to the customers and trying to build things that help them.
And so our next update will be in the fall, and even more stuff coming then. This is just where we are in the snapshots now. So definitely stay tuned to, like we said, Microsoft Accessibility on Twitter is a great way of keeping up with all that stuff, because there is so much coming to developer tools, to Office,
absolutely,
to Edge, especially Edge Dev, and all of that. So
yep,
a lot to be keeping on top of. And Jason, thank you for your time.
Thanks,
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. One last plug for Hadley as well. So they'll continue, as we are building features, they're going to continue to roll out additional training. And so Hadley.edu and Hadley.edu/low vision are two great places to get started there.
And also follow them on Twitter, because they have so much content that, again, whether you're into plants, are you into books, mm-hmm, are you looking to do things at home, Hadley has all sorts of information available there too. And so follow Hadley on Twitter. There'll be a link in the show notes, as always. Head over to blindbargains.com, go over to podcast and click this particular episode to be able to learn more or about any of the things that we covered here at the convention. Jason, thank you for your time, man.
Thanks,
I appreciate
so much,
it.
Joe. Appreciate it.
From a very nice coffee shop here in the Mandalay Bay, which actually played The Girl from Ipanema. I don't know if you were paying attention just a moment ago.
Awesome.
The most stereotypical thing ever that we could get in the background of a podcast. This is Joe Steinkamp.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.